Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Because of Edward Snowden, who stole national secrets and leaked them to the media, we now know that the NSA is keeping tabs on you and me. Phone records, computer records, it's all out there now. There was a public backlash, and almost a week ago, President Obama gave a big speech announcing some reforms to these programs. But today, we're getting a report from a bipartisan group slamming the NSA phone data storing program as ineffective, illegal, and it should be shut down. What does this mean for our right to privacy and the end to government snooping? We're joined by David Green, Senior Staff Attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Harley Geiger, Deputy Director for the Center of Democracy and Technologies Project on Freedom, Security, and Surveillance. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So, David, let me ask you about what did you think about this report? I mean, were you thrilled? This was good for you?
It's great. I am thrilled. I have to fess up that I'm not all the way through the 238 pages yet.
It's got a twist at the end. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's exciting.
Well, I've read the executive summary. It's really great. I mean, it says a lot of the things that that we at EFF and all the organizations and individuals who've been fighting against the NSA surveillance have been saying that this stuff is unconstitutional. It's not authorized by statute. It's not what Congress intended. It's a serious invasion of people's privacy. It's not serving a national security purpose. It's really a great document.
Harley, did we learn anything new about the NSA program with this report?
No, we didn't learn anything new necessarily. But as David had said, the PCOB report, the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board's report, made two very important conclusions. One, that they found giving the most comprehensive review of the law that we've seen to date, they found that the NSA's collection of call records were unlawful. And second, that in their review of the record, the NSA's collection program is ineffective at stopping terrorism. So this is echoed in other analyses of the subject, but this is probably the most comprehensive and authoritative conclusion to date.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got an observation, a question, a comment about the NSA spying program, if you think it's illegal, or if you think it makes you feel safer and you want it to continue, we definitely want to hear from you. Give us a call. Also, you can email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, David Green, people say this program is illegal, but how do we keep saying that it's illegal when Congress has reauthorized this, this program twice, this metadata program since it's begun?
Yeah, and this is a point that is addressed in the report that was released this morning. So the argument the government has been making is that, Congress can't complain about it now because they knew about this program and they reauthorized it. And that's not really what happened. Congress extended the FISA Amendments Act, which is the law which added this Section 215, which allows them to collect business records, when it was passed, had a sunset provision, which meant it was going to expire automatically. And Congress, twice in 2009 and 2011, extended that so that the law didn't expire. They extended the entire law as a whole. They were never faced with the question of, do you like the telephone call records collection? Should we continue collecting the telephone call records of every American, every telephone call made, to and from an American person? They never were asked that question. The government has said is that members of Congress, a letter was sent to them that, and within this five-page letter there was a paragraph that talked about the program, and it said that before voting on the law, they should, there was going to be a private, a highly secure briefing made available to them, and that's what they did. Whether members of Congress took advantage of that, we don't know, but it's really inaccurate to say that Congress, reauthorized this program specifically. It didn't do that, and indeed, that's exactly what the PCOB report says, is that this was not the government endorsing this particular program.
So, Harley, who are these guys in this panel? Are they going to have a lot of weight to this? You know, will this mean something in Washington, D.C.? Does it have teeth?
It does mean something. In terms of who they are, they're a five-member independent government committee. They review national security programs for their impact on privacy and civil liberties. And they've only really recently started operating fully. Their conclusions do not have the force of law. They're really just there to consult, to provide oversight, and to notify the public and Congress about their findings. But this record really does resonate. It resonates on Capitol Hill, and it resonates in the executive branch. The question is whether it's going to be enough. This is part of the report that came out today is part of a growing consensus that the program needs to be substantially reformed, but there are some differences on where to go from here. And in Congress, in fact, there is legislation that is being circulated right now that would make several very substantial reforms to the government's surveillance programs in favor of Americans' privacy. There's actually more than one bill. The most important is called the USA Freedom Act, and that was introduced in both the House and the Senate. It's already gained a good number of supporters from both Republicans and Democrats. And what I'm reading in the press from reactions from the sponsors and supporters of that bill, the PCLOB report, the report that we were just discussing that came out today, is actually helping to advance it. It adds greater urgency to moving the bill forward. But in the end, it's going to take an act of Congress to actually fix this. And for that, in fact, you need Texas. Right now, the senators from Texas, neither Mr. Cruz nor Mr. Cornyn, are actually listed among the supporters of the USA Freedom Act. So,
is this something that cuts against party lines? Is this something that libertarians and progressives can work together on?
Libertarians and progressives are already working together on it. In fact, this Rand Paul is on the bill in the Senate. Is introduced by Senator Pat Leahy in the Senate. In the House, it's already got, I believe, 120-plus co-sponsors to it, both libertarians and liberal Democrats. In fact, on the issue of surveillance generally, there is a great deal of common ground between libertarians and Democrats, and USA Freedom is a great example. So we've got folks that are saying, both Democrats and Republicans, that we should support limiting unchecked government power, and the USA Freedom Act has really got the best chance of doing that right now. But we need members of Congress not just to make statements about it. We need them to vote to protect privacy from overbroad surveillance.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break. Want to hear from our listeners. If you got a comment about the NSA, this new report that came out today that said it was ineffective, it's illegal, it should stop, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about President Obama, because this seems like it's kind of cutting sideways against his recent speech about reforming the NSA. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
Hey, you know what would undermine all this reform talk? If these changes contained any glaring loopholes.
The database can be queried only after a judicial finding or in the case of a true emergency. It will terminate within a fixed time unless the government demonstrates a real need for further secrecy.
So basically the rule is we will totally follow the rules until such a time that we determine that we will no longer follow the rules. But don't worry about it. You won't hear about it because we're going to do it in secret. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm being pessimistic. Are these safeguards perfect? Of course not. But at least the president is trying to earn back the trust of the American people by demonstrating a seriousness of purpose. So how do we move these reforms forward?
I'm open to working with Congress to ensure that we build a broad consensus for how to move forward.
So we're never doing this. You're going to do this after we get a broad consensus in Congress with you of how to move forward. That sounds great. Then perhaps we'll get some well-reasoned post-game analysis from Richard Sherman. How about that? Ooh. And then maybe after that, we can all go out for unicorn burgers and leprechaun juice.
And that is Jon Stewart of The Daily Show giving his unique take, his analysis of President Obama's recent speech about the NSA. Today, a five-member Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, CCLOB, announced that this whole NSA program that collects data on almost every phone in America is illegal. It doesn't work and should be shut down. We're talking about that with David Green, Senior Staff Attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Harley Geiger. He's the Deputy Director for the Center for Democracy and Technologies Project on Freedom, Security, and Surveillance. So, David, the thing interesting about this is the timeline and the timing, how President Obama gave his speech last week and then this report came out today. What if they had been flip-flopped? Do you think there was a reason why they came out this way?
There probably is a reason. I think there's always a reason for everything. But we are hearing that the president, before he gave his speech, did meet with the PCLOB and did see the report, or at least I don't know if he saw the final version, but he did meet. So that he, some of the things he said might have been guided by this report. We do know that in their report, the PCLOB makes several recommendations that it says can be implemented immediately. And the president did implement one of those recommendations. The way the call records program worked prior to last week was that if they found a phone number, which they had a reasonable, articulable suspicion, referred to someone who had some connection to terrorism, they would look at every number that called that phone number and every phone number that number called. Then they would also look, and they called that the first hop. They would also take a second hop and then look at, of all those numbers, every number that called those numbers and those numbers called. And then they would also take a third hop and then look at, for that next level, every call coming to and from those numbers. And one of the things the PCLOB recommends is that, well, it should only be two hops. And that is one of the things one of the immediate changes the president instituted last week. It's the only one, as far as I can tell, that he actually, of their immediate recommendations that he put into place.
So it's kind of like, you know, like how far you go to get to Kevin Bacon, kind of like, you know. But you can only go two times rather than three.
Now they only go two times instead of three. And again, what PCLOB recommended, you get rid of the whole program. But they said for the data that you already have, until Congress can actually get rid of the whole program, for the data you have, you should certainly only do two hops instead of three. But that still is. That's still a lot of catching up a lot of innocent people within that.
Okay, well, let's get some callers in on this conversation. The number is 614-8980. Albert has called in. Albert, thanks for calling in. Go ahead. You're on the air. Albert, buddy, you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, hon. Go ahead.
I believe that the NSA shouldn't be restricted or inhibited in any way. As we move forward into the future, it seems that electronic warfare, cyber war, whatever you want to call it, will become more and more important for national and state security. And if this currently what the NSA does seems ham-fisted or unsophisticated, well, that simply means that we just aren't practiced enough at it in order to develop techniques or counter strategies that the citizens' privacy data has to be subsidized. I think that's okay.
Okay, so and Albert, are you happy with how this is grounded in our law, or do you feel that that Congress should be more involved in this and create laws that say exactly what the NSA can do, or can the NSA pretty much take some of these vague references in the Patriot Act and do whatever they want?
Like I said, law is interpreted and determined to be what is right or incorrect. In hindsight, I think, and so I think what they're doing is it's not comfortable, but it's okay.
Okay, so you think they're doing a good thing? They're fighting a good fight.
Maybe not right now, but maybe in 10 years or so, they'll help. They'll help do
okay.
Something.
All right. Appreciate your call. Okay, and that is, and who do you want to, was that Harley?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him a question. He had opened his statement with saying that he doesn't believe the NSA should be inhibited in any way. I mean, what we're talking about with regard to this program is mostly just phone calls, call to from data, but the way that the government is interpreting the law, the way that the government interprets Section 215 of the Patriot Act, really opens the door to collecting a broad range of information about Americans, all Americans. And I'm just curious, was curious to know whether Albert thought that that was okay, too. You know, not just phone metadata records, but credit card transactions, locations of cell phones, et cetera, whether he was really willing to say that there should be no meaningful limitation at all on the information that the NSA collects about Americans. Because that, as the PCLOB report today points out, is a fundamental change to the relationship between citizens and the state.
Right. And the 215 of the Patriot Act, I mean, that's really the critical, the nut of this whole thing. And when it was crafted, it said that it allowed the FBI to obtain business records deemed relevant to an investigation. And, you know, what they now see as businesses and deemed relevant, now it's just the whole country, every phone that's out there. So
that's right. They're basically saying that everything is relevant. And really, the argument that they're using is that all of these records are relevant because their system of data analysis works best if it has all the records. And there's a possibility that the company will delete the records before they can get to it. And on that rationale, you can sweep in just a tremendous amount of records.
Right. And people can ask, was this the Congress's intent when they drafted that?
And Congress has consistently said no. In fact, the author of the bill that I had mentioned earlier, the USA Freedom Act, is James Sensenbrenner. And Sensenbrenner was, in fact, the author of the original Patriot Act. He has said this is absolutely not what he intended by the legislation. So the USA Freedom Act is intended to clarify that, to make it absolutely clear that the records of everybody in the country cannot be collected all at once. It has to be done on a particularized basis.
So it raises the question, is this an agency that has gone out of control? Let's get another caller in on the conversation. Fred, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, I just had a comment. I'm kind of disappointed in Obama that he's trying to reform the NSA when, as far as I can see, the entire basis of the NSA isn't really possible within the framework of the Constitution. And, I mean, it really just needs to be abolished because there's no way for mass surveillance to work within the Fourth Amendment.
Okay. Fred, thank you for that. I'm going to get another caller in real quickly. Larry has called in. Larry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. My concern or question is, I have not read any reports where the NSA has actually misused the data that they're collecting. I believe they're collecting it for our safety, and we have not had any attacks or any things that have not been prevented since 9/11.
Okay, Larry, good question. Thanks for raising that. David Green, can you respond to Larry's point?
Yeah, I mean, I can suggest that Larry, he can look at several of the opinions that have been disclosed of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court detail the misuses of the information. I think the one that's getting the most press, although it's certainly not the only one, was a program that the NSA employees themselves nicknamed Love Int, where people were using the telephone records information in retaliatory ways against and to track former lovers and spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends.
So it was a stalking program.
Yeah, and that's the one that's been getting the most press, and there's other ones. But it is important to know that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, even though it has largely been rubber-stamping this program, did actually shut down it didn't stop the collection, but it stopped them from analyzing or querying this database for a nine-month period until it proved that it actually could comply with its own regulations. And one of the things that the court noted there was actually there was no single person at the NSA who actually seemed to know what they could and could not do with the data. So there actually is a very well-established record.
Right, but Larry brings up another point. I need to get to this because it's critical about whether or not this is keeping the United States safe. And this report says, not so much. Right.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really fascinating about this whole conversation is sort of the change in the rhetoric since the Snowden disclosures, because the initial rhetoric was 50 acts of terrorism have been prevented by this program. And then that came down to, it weren't acts of terrorism, they were terrorist incidents. And then, it wasn't really 50, it was more like 30. And then it was, those really had nothing to do with the telephone records.
Right, and pretty soon we were down like to maybe one.
There's this guy in San Diego who sent some money to El Shabaab. And
then they could have gotten him through other means if they had tried. It wasn't hard.
And that's what we're down to. And really, what are the great things?
Okay, David, we're out of time. We've got to have you back again. We've had you on before. You're a great guest. David Green, Electronic Frontiers Foundation. We've got Harley Geiger, Deputy Director of the Center for Democracy and Technologies Project at the on Freedom, Security, and Surveillance. Thank you for joining us, talking about the NSA program and today's great new developments. This is huge. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This week on Texas Matters, questions are being raised about how the state's largest chain of charter schools is teaching history and science. Response Education Solutions receives $82 million a year from taxpayers, but critics say the schools are teaching creationism and breaking the law. That's on Texas Matters, Friday at 3:30 on KSTX.
Next time on Marketplace, a look at the very rich who pretend that they're not. More money, more problems. That's from APM.
You can hear Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on KSTX.
The drug war.
The stash house workers.
Immigration.
You're looking at losing community services.
The drought.
We are actually changing our farming practices.
The rise of the Latino demographic.
They act like if we weren't Mexicans like them.
These are just some of the issues that link Texas and the American Southwest. Tune in every week for Fronteras, a regional focus on the news of the Southwest. Hear Fronteras Fridays at 3 and Sunday evenings at 9 on KSTX.
This is KSTX San Antonio, on the air at 89.1 and online at tpr.org. Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock. The process.